Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in. Winning cures everything, and it is college football week 11 under the radar picks against the spread. We're going over 20 different games today. Again, let's not waste time. Let's get to it. All right, if you are new here, of course, I am Gary. It's very nice to meet you. Gary Seegers at GaryWCE on all of the different socials. So, the usual stuff. Hit subscribe if you've not done that. Of course, make sure that you like the video. That helps us out with the algorithm. Leave some comments down there. I think that helps out as well. But most importantly, just watch the video and let me know what you think. I'm curious your picks on all of these different things. These are not my official plays. These are all the different games that we did not discuss on the BetUS College Football Show, which we do every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I take 20 games that we have not hit on, that we didn't do a full breakdown on, and I give you what my numbers look like, and then we go from there. So very, very easy. If you want early plays, if you want bonus content, etc., go to bettingcfb.com. That is the easiest place to do that. But yeah, I've got bonus podcasts. I give out the sheets that you're going to see here. You can get all of those here. So let's not waste time. Let's get into it, and we're going to start off with a Friday night game. All right, Cal heads to Wake Forest. Wake Forest is a 7.5-point home underdog here. And look, my initial thought was short week. Cal got to go across the country. Wake Forest has been playing a little bit better offensively as of late. Cal is somewhat of a disaster. They are currently 4-4. They're 5-3 against the spread. But both of these teams, surprisingly, with as bad as Wake Forest has been, they have the exact same record as Cal. It's just that Cal has played in some really, really tight ball games against good teams. But they have had trouble finding ways to win games. So, the way that I look at this, I've got Cal by 8.24. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, I've got Cal minus almost 16 points. It seems like a pretty hefty advantage. But again, how much does travel weigh into this? How much does the short week weigh into it, etc.? The Wake Forest offense has been better as of late. But right now, you know, full season, they're number 77 in offensive PPA per drive. Cal's defense is number 41 in that metric. The thing that Wake Forest does the most, they throw the ball 53.33% of the time. And Cal defends the pass most of the time, over 55% of the time. And Cal's defense is number 29 in PPA per pass allowed. Wake Forest offense is number 70 in that metric. So Wake Forest, not great, but maybe they can find some ways to hit some plays in the passing game. They're not great at running the ball either, although their stuff rate is better than what Cal is capable of doing. On the other side, this Cal offense, they throw the ball 56% of the time, 56.5% of the time, and yeah, Wake Forest is not good at defending that. Number 127 PPA per pass. Cal doesn't really try and run it a lot because they're not good at it. And that's what the Wake Forest defense is actually pretty good at stopping. There's a couple of things that would make you believe that Wake could stay in this game. They're number 33 in penalties per game, number 51 in yards per game. Well, Cal is number 128 in penalties per game and number 112 in penalty yardage per game. Also, special teams, a big advantage for Wake Forest, number 35 to number 78 for Cal. You dive into these numbers, I think the travel is a bit much. I'm gonna go with Wake just because home atmosphere, Friday night, it's a lot of travel for Cal on a short week, and I believe that the Wake Forest offense has been better as of late. So that is the direction that we will go with that. Let's take Wake plus 7.5 there. All right. On to our next game. Purdue heads to Ohio State. And The number on this is Ohio State favored by 37.5 right now. That is that's the biggest sports book on the market. I've got Ohio State by 42. This is the week after the Penn State game. It's the week before the Indiana game or close to it, something like that. Ohio State still has big stuff going on. How into this game are they going to be? Do they want to run up this score? I would guess not, but you're talking about the number one PPA margin team in the country against the number 132. Based on the last 4 weeks of data, as you see up there at the top, I've got Ohio State by 25 points. So we're not talking much. There's not a stat that I'm going to read off to you that would make you think that Purdue can hang in this game. And even I don't believe that they can hang in this game. But with the way that Ohio State runs the ball, they run it 49.76% of the time, I think they're going to run it a lot more here. They ran it well against Penn State last week. They might even be able to break off some big runs this week. But my feeling on this, because they only run 64 plays per game, that's number 92 in the country. Purdue is number 134 in offensive plays per game. You're talking two slow teams that don't run a lot of plays, that neither really has any interest in being here. It's an early Saturday game. Yeah, I just get the feeling if Purdue gets 7 points on the board, and I think there's a way that they could get 7 points up there somewhere, but if they can get 7 points on the board, because remember, Oregon only scored 35 of them, or on them. I think that we could see like a 42-7 kind of game. And in that spot, Purdue would cover that 38. So I will take Purdue to cover the 38 on this one. We carry on. And we're moving to the ACC. The Miami Hurricanes travel over to Atlanta. And they have to deal with Georgia Tech. Now, the line on this has, at the biggest sports book, it's got Georgia Tech plus 10.5. So, we know Brent Key is really good as an underdog. Like, really, really good. Georgia Tech won this game outright last year. Everybody remembers the kneel down game. Now, this might be a spot where Miami wants to run this thing up, et cetera. But I've got Miami by 18.5 here, which is way bigger than what this number actually is. It opened at 12.5. It's down to 11.5, 10.5 in some spots. Miami minus 12.5 roundabout is what the stats based on the last 4 weeks would say. There's certainly spots that Georgia Tech can take advantage of this Miami team, right? The Georgia Tech defense is not good. They're not really capable of stopping what Miami does on offense. They can stop the run, but Miami only runs the ball 41% of the time. That's number 118 in the country. On the other side, Georgia Tech's offense, I think they're going to have some success here. Maybe passing the ball. They're number 33 in PPA per pass. Miami's defense is number 45. But Georgia Tech doesn't throw the ball a ton. Haynes King, from what I understand, should be back. It's a home game. I think Georgia Tech, it's not that they have Miami's number per se, but you know Miami plays in some of these tight games. They ended up blowing out Duke last week. Georgia Tech's a little more feisty than Duke, I believe. Personal preference. So, I'm going to go with Georgia Tech plus the 11.5. I think it's closer to that last 4 weeks number. I think that Georgia Tech's defense kind of keeps them in this thing, and I think that the offense is going to be able to put up some points here and there. So I will take Georgia Tech plus, the best number I found was 11.5. So give me the Yellow Jackets on that. All right. Staying in the ACC, and Syracuse goes to Boston College, and BC currently a 1.5-point home favorite. Syracuse got a big win over Virginia Tech last week. Now, that was Virginia Tech without Kyren Drones. However, it was a big comeback, and they really had to work on that to come back in that one. Strength of schedule is pretty similar here. Number 85 for Syracuse, number 70 for BC. My full season stats have Syracuse favored by 0.5 point. Based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Syracuse minus 4. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. So, the way that I'm looking at this, And let me double check and make sure that I've got this number right, because now that I'm looking at it, I wrote down that both teams were favored, and I don't believe that that's correct. Let's see. Syracuse. And either way, you look at the numbers. There we go. All right, Syracuse is the dog. Okay. That works for me. That definitely works for me. All right. Breaking it down. The Syracuse defense is not good. But they're really not good against the pass. Boston College doesn't throw the ball much, 42% of the time. But they are number 18 in PPA per pass. They don't do it effectively, though. They're number 78 in passing success rate. That means they've got some huge passing explosives. Syracuse's defense is number 117 at stopping that. BC's offense number 13 in generating it. Syracuse better defending the run, etc. Now, if you want to get into a shootout, which I would not recommend, I think Syracuse is more built for that. They throw the ball 63.81% of the times. That's number one in the country. Their passing success rate is number 16, and Boston College is number 100 in passing success allowed. I don't think Syracuse is going to run the ball much because BC is better at defending that. I get the feeling that Syracuse is kind of rolling right now. This offense, I think, is good. They obviously had a bad night against Pitt, but this BC defense is not Pitt's defense. So BC, I think there's still a couple of things wrong here. I'm going to go Syracuse to cover the 2.5. 2.5 was the best number I could find out there. All right, let's do an AAC game. And Navy goes to South Florida. South Florida, at the biggest book right now, is a 2.5-point home dog. And I think anybody that watched the Navy-Rice game realized that there is something not quite right with Blake Horvath. It's not that he's not going to play. It's that he's not 100%. And when something is messed up with him, this offense cannot run efficiently. So that becomes a bit of an issue. USF got back on the winning side last week. They absolutely destroyed FAU, and they can run the ball a little bit. They're number 60 in PPA per rush, number 10 in rushing explosiveness in the country. Navy's defense, number 116 and number 62 in those metrics. So their defense is not very good at stopping it. This Navy offense, obviously the numbers look good. You see all the green on the screen. They're number 5 in PPA per pass. They're number 6 in PPA per rush. Well, they run the ball 71.5% of the time. USF is number 24 in PPA allowed per rush, number 17 in rushing success rate allowed. They're number 15 in offensive line yards allowed, etc. This USF defense can stop the run. I think that USF gets this win here because I don't think that Blake Horvath is... I don't think he's right now. And if he's not right, then I don't think that Navy can do what they need to on offense, and I don't trust this defense at this point. Rice was able to put up 24 points on him. I know that there was the weather delay and all that kind of stuff, but when you're looking at just efficiency in the game, when Navy isn't clicking on offense, the whole machine gets broken. So that is certainly not what you want, but I'll take USF plus the 3. That's the best number I could find out there. There's a 3, and I will take them probably to win the game outright at home. I feel good about them. Feel very good about them. All right. You guys know what time it is. Kinesiology technology from Ghost Sleeves is, I mean, it's the best. It's absolutely the best. GhostSleeves.com/WCE. That is where you need to go to check this out. 15% off using that promo code WCE, which, of course, acronym for Winning Cures Everything. But Ghost Sleeves is fantastic. If you are older and you've got joint pain, you don't even have to be older. If you got joint pain, elbows, knees, ankles, whatever, there's socks, there's shirts, there's sleeves, there's everything. Check it out. It is incredible. GhostSleeves.com/WCE to get 15% off your order over there. And of course, don't forget about the BetUS College Football Show. Every Tuesday and Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That is where you'll get my official plays that you don't find over at bettingcfb.com, etc. So, highly, highly recommend.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And that. We carry on and we move into Liberty, heading to Middle Tennessee. Something ain't right with Liberty. I'll tell you that. They have lost two games now to Kennesaw and last week to Jacksonville State. Now, Jacksonville State is a really, really good football team. But this line right now, Liberty favored by 10.5 on the road at Middle Tennessee. And the Blue Raiders, this is just not a very good football team. I have them power rated number 131 in the country. There's only 134 teams, so it ain't great. My number on this has Liberty by 9.16. Based on the last 4 weeks, it's got Liberty minus 1.35. So obviously, they haven't played well. Liberty has not played well. However, still an incredibly efficient football team when you look at overall stats. They're number 26 in PPA margin. Middle Tennessee is number 130. Now, while my number doesn't have them covering, you start looking at all this green on the Liberty side and start looking at all the red on the Middle Tennessee side, and you got problems. You certainly got problems. However, looking at offense, Middle Tennessee number 36 in PPA per pass, but they only throw the ball less than 40% of the time. It's not much better when Middle Tennessee tries to defend the run. Number 49 in PPA per rush, number 22 in rushing success rate for Liberty on offense. Middle Tennessee is number 118 and number 122 at defending it. They're not great in offensive line yards, not great in stuff rate either, so Liberty should be able to take advantage of them when they're running the ball. And I think Liberty's going to be able to stay ahead of the chains. They'll be able to keep the ball away from Middle Tennessee's offense, which, even when Middle Tennessee gets the ball, they're number 101 in PPA per pass, number 124 passing success rate, and when they run it, number 118 in PPA per rush, and number 125 in rushing success rate. It ain't good. I think that Liberty finds a way to bounce back here. I feel strongly about this. I think Liberty bounces back. I think they cover the 10.5. And that's the best number you can get out there. 10.5 right now is where it's at. So, not too bad for Liberty. All right. Moving on. UConn heads down to Birmingham to take on UAB. And UAB has looked a little bit better as of late. They certainly have. UConn is favored by 6.5 here on the road. I've got them by 7.36. But based on the last 4 weeks, I've got UConn minus 3.96. So UConn by only 4. But this is another one of those situations. This UConn offense is not great. However, what they do the most is run the ball. 56% of the time, that's good for number 30 in the country. They are 65th in PPA per rush. UAB is number 133 at defending it. UConn is number 90 in rushing success rate. Yeah, UAB is even worse than that. Number 130 in rushing success allowed. Standard downs, PPA, etc. I think that's where UConn can take advantage of this team. On the other side, this UConn defense is legitimately good. What Jim Mora has built here is surprising to me. I've been a little bit shocked with this. Number 27 in defensive success rate allowed. Number 10 passing. Number 57 rushing. So UAB isn't very good at running the ball. They're better at throwing it. And they throw it nearly 54% of the time. That's 38th most in the country. And UConn is number 15 in PPA allowed per pass. They're number 10 in passing success allowed, number 10 in passing explosiveness allowed. They are really good at defending the thing that UAB wants to do. I know that the number for the last 4 weeks says that UAB should cover this. And I know that they are at home. But I think this UConn team has something to them. I am going to go with UConn to cover the 6.5 here. This just feels like a team that's kind of got some things rolling. I feel pretty good about them. Feel pretty good about them. All right. Let's go to the ACC. And in the ACC, Clemson heads to Virginia Tech, and they are favored by 6.5 here. I know it's a little surprising. Virginia Tech, however, will not have Kyren Drones playing. So that is something to pay attention to as you are looking at these numbers. Clemson, I have favored by 5.25 points. It is not ideal. Last 4 weeks, I've got Clemson by 7, and that includes the data from the loss to Louisville last week. Virginia Tech, stronger strength of schedule, number 38. Clemson is number 60. I don't think Clemson is all the way fraudulent the way that they looked on Saturday. I think maybe that's the easiest way to put it. This Clemson offense is legitimately good. They're number 4 in PPA per rush, but they only run the ball 44.75% of the time, so almost 45% of the time. They don't turn the ball over. They're number 2 in giveaways per game. They're pretty good as far as penalties are concerned. There's just a lot of different things to look at with this. They're number 4 in offensive line yards, number 14 in stuff rate. They're number 13 in havoc rate allowed. Virginia Tech is good on defense. They really are. Number 43 in PPA per pass allowed, number 39 in PPA allowed per rush, and they're number 25 in havoc created. The issue is I think that Clemson is going to be able to run the ball here, and when you look at what Virginia Tech is doing on offense, I don't believe in Colin Schley the way that I would Kyren Drones. I don't think Colin Schley is very good. He got a huge lead last week. They couldn't hold on to it. I think really what that means, I mean, if Syracuse was able to throw the ball on this Virginia Tech defense, I don't think Virginia Tech can keep up with Clemson's offense. So I'm going to side with Clemson to cover the 6.5. It's under a touchdown right now. Without Drones, I don't know what this Virginia Tech team is. I really don't. Really, really don't. All right, moving on. Army. The Black Knights head to North Texas, and let me tell you, Daly is not playing again. Bryson Daly, the quarterback, and that's going to be a bit of a problem because I don't think the Army is very good without him. They put up 20 points on Air Force. Air Force is atrocious. Now, can the Army defense hold up here? And I think that's the biggest question for this. Army's defense is number 35 in PPA per pass allowed, number 73 in passing success rate allowed. You just look overall numbers, number 62 in defensive success rate allowed. They're number 73 against the pass, number 67 against the rush. I don't think you're going to have to worry about defending the run very much because North Texas is number 133 in rush rate in the country. They're running the ball 36.21% of their offensive snaps. They throw it a lot, and they are really good at it. Passing success rate, number 14. Passing explosiveness, number 58. And this team is number 6 in the country in points per game. Army has been putting up a lot. They're number 14 in offensive points per game. But Army's defense is number 1 in defensive points allowed per game. The issue is, without Daly, how much can you hold on to the football? And I don't think it's as much as they would like to be able to keep the ball away from North Texas's offense. That's going to be an issue here. None of these numbers matter without Bryson Daly being there, right? So we could look at these things all day long, and it's not going to make a difference. Army is number 1 in giveaways per game. They do not turn the ball over. Maybe the Army defense can generate some turnovers because they're number 49 in takeaways per game. North Texas is number 80. And every now and then you're going to get one of those Chandler Moore's kind of games, right? Even still, the best number you can get out there is 6 right now. I'm going to take North Texas to cover the 6 at home. I think this is where the Army magical run is going to end. If they still had Daly, to me, it would be no question because I don't think North Texas would get the ball enough to make a difference. But when you look at the strength of schedule, number 133 for Army, they haven't played anything close to this. Yeah, give me North Texas plus the 6. All right, we go back to CUSA. Louisiana Tech hosts Jacksonville State, and Jacksonville State is favored by 9.5 right now on the road. It's a lot of red on here. This Louisiana Tech offense is, well, first off, my number on this is Jacksonville State minus 5.5. If we took out the first 3 games of the season, I think that this number would be closer to like 14, right? Based on the last 4 weeks, Louisiana Tech has actually looked pretty good, et cetera. But I don't think they've looked nearly as good as Jacksonville State. This team is, with Tyler Huff at quarterback, they are unbelievable. I mean, it's just, it's a different world with him at quarterback. And they have figured out this offense. They are absolutely rolling. Now, the numbers we're looking at right now, 5.5. And now based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Jacksonville State by 8.5. The defense for Jacksonville State is good enough to stop Louisiana Tech. Number 62 in PPA per rush. They're number 104 in defensive success rate, but they don't allow the other team to score very much. And when it comes down to it, Louisiana Tech is number 126 in points per scoring opportunity. That's points per drive inside the opponent's 40-yard line. So I don't look for them to be able to finish drives very efficiently. When we're looking on the other side, this Louisiana Tech defense is legitimately good. They're number 14 in PPA allowed per drive. The problem is that Jacksonville State runs a very different type of offense. They run the ball 62.44% of the time. That's best for number 5 in the country. They're number 16 in PPA per rush. The defense for Louisiana Tech is number 28. Number 12 rushing success rate against number 11. I get the feeling that Jacksonville State is going to be able to put up more points here than Louisiana Tech is going to get to defend, because I think that this defense for Louisiana Tech is going to be on the field a lot. Just a hunch. So I think they're going to be on the field quite a bit. And if they are, I mean, how could you possibly go against Jacksonville State at this point? Give me Jacksonville State minus the 9.5. I know the numbers don't say it, but this thing is below 10. And I trust Rich Rod in that offense right now. So certainly feel good about it. All right. You guys know tickets are expensive to everything, whether it is a college football playoff game, which those are coming up very soon, or one of the big games left in the regular season, because we are in November. We got NBA games going. We got college basketball games going. We got NFL games going. We got NHL games going. I mean, it's sports. And you're going to want tickets. You're going to want to take your kids. You're going to want to take your spouse. Save some money every time you do it. Go to TicketSmarter. It's the best, and that's a personal preference, but they are the best third-party ticketing vendor out there. TicketSmarter.com. Use the promo codes WCE10 or WCE20. WCE10 is going to get you $10 off an order of $100 or more. WCE20 is going to get you $20 off an order of $300 or more. And you can use the code every single time you go back. You could buy tickets every week from now until the end of time, and you can use those promo codes and save money on every order. So I recommend it. Check it out, TicketSmarter.com. Think smarter with TicketSmarter. Along with that, of course, mention again all these different spreadsheets that you see as we bring it up here. These different sheets, you can get those over at bettingcfb.com. I post them up every Sunday night or Monday morning, depending on what's happening with internet and whatnot, because I have had an issue before. But yes, you can get those over at bettingcfb.com. Be a member, $5 a month, $50 for the year. We would certainly appreciate you being a patron of me, because this is all me. It's a one-man operation here. We move on with the show, and we're going to the Big Ten. And this doesn't feel like a Big Ten matchup, but Maryland is going to visit Oregon. Yes, that is right. Oregon currently a 24.5 point favorite. This is the week after they beat Michigan. They covered last week, etc. Oregon has not been, what's the word I'm looking for? They haven't really worried about running up the score. I'll say that. I think Dan Lanning gets it. They are more focused on playoffs, Big Ten title, national championship. They know that it's a long season. They're trying to keep their guys fresh. They are playing more depth. They lost Tez Johnson last week, so that's something. It's certainly something to pay attention to. But when you start looking at this matchup, my number on this has Oregon by 28.5. Based on the last 4 weeks, it's got Oregon by 27.97, so 28. So we're looking at 4 touchdowns here in favor of Oregon. I'm looking at a score around 41-13-ish, something like that. So Oregon's offense, fantastic throwing the football. Number 13 in PPA per pass, number 3 in passing success rate, number 5 in havoc allowed, so nobody really gets to Dylan Gabriel. And this Maryland defense is number 107 in PPA allowed per pass, number 92 in passing success rate allowed. They're number 92 in passing explosiveness. I think that you're going to see Oregon be able to hit some plays, especially early in this game. Now, as far as running the ball, Maryland pretty good at defending that. They're number 11 in PPA allowed per rush. They're number 58 in rushing success rate, though. They're not good on standard downs. So first and 10, second and 7, third and 4, 5, whatever it is. So, you know, standard downs, they don't do so well. And that is Oregon's bread and butter. They're number 18 in standard downs PPA. They're number 9 in standard down success. I think that they are going to keep the chains moving. I don't think that Maryland's going to get the ball very much. And if that is the case, well, even if they did get the ball, there's not a whole lot that they can take advantage of. The one thing that Oregon is not very good at defending is the rush. They're number 89 in PPA allowed per rush. Now, they are number 47 in rushing success rate allowed, but still number 82 in offensive line yards allowed, number 106 in stuff rate allowed. Some of these numbers might even be skewed because of Ashton Jeanty and what he did to him earlier this year. But still, Maryland is only number 110 in PPA per rush. They don't run the ball that much. So the thing that Maryland wants to do is the thing that Oregon is best at defending, and that is throwing the ball. Maryland number 47 in PPA per pass, and they are throwing the ball 16th most in the country, 58.45% of the time. Oregon is number 19 in passing success rate allowed, number 21 in PPA allowed per pass. They're number 8 in havoc, so they're going to be after Billy all day. Even if they don't want to run up the score, I kind of get the feeling here that Oregon's going to cover anyway. So I'm going to take that 24.5, and I will take Oregon to go from there. That's what I think is going to happen with this. All right. Over to the SEC. And setting my timer here. So I have a timer that tells me how long I've got on each game. And I try and stay within that time limit so that we can get it done within an hour. So, all right. Mississippi State goes to Tennessee. Tennessee's offense has not been very good as of late. I'm sure all of you know this. Tennessee favored currently by 23.5 points at home. They got a good win over Kentucky last week. They were not able to cover over Kentucky. At least with Kentucky's defense, you know what they do. You know that on offense, they can kind of keep the ball away from people, etc. Yeah, I have really dug into this game quite a bit. And Georgia is up next for Tennessee, right? My number on this has Tennessee by 30.94. Over the last 4 weeks, it's got Tennessee by 21.6, or 21.5 points-ish. So based on whichever stat sheet you decide to use, the last 4 weeks or the one for the full season, it's going to have you thinking two completely different things. The state defense is terrible. Like, it really is. Number 133 in PPA allowed per pass. They're number 119 in PPA margin. They're number 134 in defensive PPA allowed per drive. That is dead last in the country. But they have also played the number 4 current strength of schedule. And they have held up well against Georgia, against Texas. I mean, they just always seem to do pretty well. Now, Arkansas put a bazillion points on them. But still, different thing that we're talking about here. The state offense is okay, but I don't think they're going to score a lot of points on this defense. Again, Tennessee's defense is just number 3 in PPA allowed per drive. They're number 11 in defensive success rate, number 6 against the run. They're really good. I like what Michael Van Buren is doing in this offense, but the issue is that I think going against this defense, as quick as they play, and I mean it's fast. They're number 57 in offensive plays per game, but they're number 110 in defensive plays per game. So you're talking about two teams that run a lot of plays. The more chances that you give Nico and that Vols offense to score, they could certainly run it up. But I think when I look at this, I don't know how focused on scoring Tennessee is going to be. I think they're going to be vanilla, and I think that they can get away with it in this game because they're going to want to try and save as much as they can for that Georgia game next week. Georgia's going to be coming in tired, coming off the Ole Miss game. If you're Tennessee, you want to be rested. You want to be ready. I think going to Athens next week is where it's most important. So I don't think you see anything too crazy. I think you see Tennessee run the ball a lot. You might try a couple of things here. And I think that State can at least get some points on the board, especially late. So I will take Mississippi State to cover the 23.5. I think there's actually a 24 out there, and let me double check that, because if that is the case, I want that to help. Yeah, there's a 24 at DraftKings right now. and an ESPN bet. So we'll take Mississippi State plus the 24 on that one. All right, we move to the Big 12. There we go. And maybe scroll up to start that one off. UCF goes to Arizona State. Looks like we might not have Scataboo for this game for Arizona State. Certainly not ideal, but how much does a running back really... I'm not going to say how much does he matter. Obviously, in college, it's a different deal. But how much is he worth to a point spread? Because based on the full season, I've got Arizona State by 6.37. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, I've got Arizona State by almost two touchdowns right up here at the top, as you can see. UCF looked significantly better with the Rizik kid at quarterback last week. It's like the whole offense just completely opened up. But I think a big part of that was the fact that it was Arizona. Now you're going on the road to Arizona State, who actually doesn't have that bad of a defense. They're number 37 in PPA allowed per drive, number 34 PPA per play, number 53 in defensive success rate. And here's the deal. They're actually better against the run, which is the thing that UCF does the best and the most. They run the ball the seventh most in the country at just over 61% of the time. They're number 10 in PPA per rush. Arizona State's number 17 on defense in that metric. On the other side, Arizona State also likes to run the ball a lot, almost 60% of the time. It's number 15 in the country. So what you're looking at really is probably an under because both of these teams like to run and they're both good at defending the run. I think the Arizona State with Sam Leavitt back at quarterback is just a better team, especially at home. Arizona State's favored by 2.5 right now. And that's why I'm asking how much is Scataboo worth to a point spread. I think that the offense is still going to be able to click without him. So I'm going to take Arizona State. I'm going to trust my numbers here. I think Leavitt is Leavitt's going to have a big day against that UCF secondary. And I think they're going to put up more points. Like we'll just make that easy. So give me Arizona State to cover the 2.5 on that. Staying in the Big 12. And Oklahoma State, well, they got all kind of problems, don't they? They're going to TCU, and TCU is a 10.5-point home favorite here. And I know that Oklahoma State has been bad. I know they have. 3-6 on the season. That's straight up and against the spread. It's not been good. TCU, however, they're 5-4, but they are 2-7 against the spread. They have not played up to expectation either. My number has TCU favored by almost 9 points. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, even with these losses, I still have Oklahoma State favored by like 2.5 points. It's not ideal. I'll say that because I wouldn't feel great about betting on Oklahoma State on anything. But it is what it is. So looking at this situation, they've both played a comparable strength of schedule, number 58, number 55. TCU is really good at throwing the football. They are terrible at running it. They throw the ball the 14th most in the country, and they're number 9 in PPA per pass. Oklahoma State's defense is number 101 in PPA allowed per pass. Obviously, that's not great. Neither of these defenses is very good. So this would certainly be the kind of game where you would look at an over potentially. But even still, we're trying to pick against the spread here. That's what we're going to do. I think Oklahoma State does enough in this game to be able to stay within the number. 10.5 feels wild. There's actually some 11.5s out there. That's the direction I'm going on this. I am going to ride with Oklahoma State. I think that they're going to be able to run the ball. I know that their numbers show that they can't. But TCU's defense is number 120 in PPA allowed per rush, number 96 in rushing success rate. They're not good at offensive line yards allowed either. I think this is the kind of game where Oklahoma State can look a little bit better, right? I think that Gordon gets going. I think that whoever is back there at running back, I think can actually do something. This is the kind of week where Mike Gundy pulls something out of his hat and finds a way to, I don't necessarily think, get a win. But, I mean, we're talking 11.5 points. Oklahoma State as a dog, I mean, it's just, it's absurd. It's absurd. So Oklahoma State plus 11.5 there. And for game 15, we'll call it an ACC game, but either way. Notre Dame is a 25.5-point home favorite over Florida State. And my numbers say that that's not enough, because Florida State has been atrocious. I've got Notre Dame by 33.72. I've got them by almost 30, by just over 29 points, based on the last 4 weeks of stats. The reason this number is where it is, I think, just guessing, is because Florida State is so much more talented than this. They're number 13 in the team talent composite. At some point, it could absolutely click. The issue is, this Notre Dame defense is unbelievable. As bad as Florida State has been at passing the ball, number 126 in PPA per pass, they are throwing it the 25th most times in the country. 56.61% of their offensive plays are passing plays. And obviously they're not very good at running the ball either. But good, great. And I guess when you get behind, you have to throw the ball a lot. But man, like, this just doesn't seem to make sense. Everything skews Notre Dame here. Now, the funniest thing in the world, if you're not a Notre Dame fan, would be to see this Florida State team beat this Notre Dame team. Because we've seen this from Marcus Freeman before. This specific Notre Dame team that is favored, that I've got winning by 33.72 points, lost outright at home to Northern Illinois, who already has four losses in the MAC. I mean, what are we talking about? Like, somehow they find ways to do this. I can't do it. I got to go Notre Dame. Best number you can get out there right now is 25.5. I'm going to take Notre Dame to cover the 25.5. It's unbelievable what this has turned into. Florida State, I'm certain, is just ready. They're just playing out the season. Let's just get to next year and figure out how to fix this roster, because it's rough. It's rough out there. Let me tell you right quick, if you want to support the show, obviously support our sponsors. That helps out tremendously, Ticket Smarter and Ghost Sleeves. But you can also go to bettingcfb.com, which I've told you about multiple times, or we got a web store, winningcureseverything.com. Just go and click the store button. I think it's actually winningcureseverything.com/store. But we got some t-shirts and some hats and whatnot. I'm going to have some stuff with that new logo up there as well. Don't forget about watching Three Dog Thursday. TJ is going to have a different guest on this week. I am excited to watch it. I think it's going to be a good time. And of course, if you haven't already done so, make sure and like the video and subscribe to the channel. We would certainly appreciate that. We roll on to game number 16 here, and we are moving to the SEC, where the Oklahoma Sooners are traveling to face the Missouri Tigers. And Missouri, only two losses on the season. This Oklahoma team has not been very good, and yet Oklahoma is favored by 2.5, 3 at some places. Full season, I've got Missouri favored by 8 points. Looks like Brady Cook is not going to play, if I'm not mistaken. And that is not ideal. And if he does go, it's going to be, like, it's not going to be great. We'll say that. So, let's see. I'm actually looking it up as we speak. Probably should have done this before we did the podcast, but I'll make sure I set my timer. And I don't see any injury news on Brady Cook. That's kind of surprising. There we go. All right, so he's questionable for this weekend. We'll see. But I think that's why the number is where it is, because nobody believes in Drew Pine, which is, I mean, it's terrible, but it is what it is. So these numbers may not necessarily matter a whole lot. If Pine can find a way to get the ball to Luther Burden or to either one of these backs, right, then Missouri should be okay. But goodness gracious, let's look at the defense for Missouri and what they're doing against an Oklahoma offense that is just, I mean, you see it here, number 127 in offensive PPA per drive, but they have been better as of late. They have certainly gotten better. There's a reason why the last 4 weeks I've got Oklahoma actually favored by 1 point. Yeah, this thing flipped. I mean, it was Missouri minus 2.5. Now it's Oklahoma by 2.5 or 3. it's almost like the numbers don't mean anything when you don't have the players in that got you the numbers. Does that make sense? I think that makes sense. All the efficiency stuff, all that out the window, doesn't matter. Oklahoma's got more talent than Missouri. You know, 6-2 against 5-4. I feel like Missouri should be able to do something here, but man, Drew Pine against Brent Venables' defense just sounds like an absolute disaster. And I don't know that there's a way to quantify exactly how much Brady Cook is worth in a game like this. So let's make it easy. I'm going to take Oklahoma to cover the 2.5 here. Now, if Brady Cook plays, obviously this changes things, and you could see this line flip back the other direction on Saturday morning. But in the meantime, if it's Drew Pine against that Venables defense, that's not going to go well. As of right now, on Wednesday, yeah, I'll take OU to cover the 2.5, even on the road. So we move to the Mountain West. And in the Mountain West, we have got the Nevada Wolfpack going up against the Boise State Broncos. And this one's on the blue turf, of course. Boise is favored by 24.5 right now. And, you know, they've been kind of running everybody out. I mean, it's just that's what they do. But they are really, really good on offense. And I'm talking number 3 in the country in offensive PPA per drive. That's predicted points added, for those that don't know. My number on this has Boise by 28 for the full season, and based on the last 4 weeks, Boise has actually been playing better, and I would have them favored by 33 over the last 4 weeks. When you start looking at schedules and see exactly, you know, how, what are we looking ahead to, all that, I don't think that there is a, there's not really a game on the Boise schedule that they're going to be looking ahead to. They play at San Jose State next week, then it's at Wyoming, and then it's at Oregon State. I think they just keep the train rolling, right? Like, I'm assuming you guys would think so as well. The problem for Nevada is, like, they're pretty good on offense, especially running the ball. I just don't know that they're going to see the ball very often. And when it comes to standard downs, I don't know if they can stay ahead of the chains against this Boise defense that's actually not terrible against the run, right? So I think that Boise can find a way to slow down what Nevada does. On the other side, I don't think there's anything that Nevada can do to slow down Boise State. The Wolfpack are number 124 in PPA allowed per rush. That Boise offense is number 2. Boise is number 1 in rushing explosiveness. Nevada is number 122 in that metric. You're going to see some big runs. Take the Genty over, whatever it is. It could be 250, and I'd still think I'd probably take him, depending on what their goal for this season is. Are they trying to get him a Heisman Trophy or they're not? And so, this number being at 24, yeah, best number I could find was actually Boise at 24. The biggest book right now is 24.5, so it's coming down a little bit. I'm surprised by that. I think Boise runs this thing up. Nevada is just, I mean, depth is not on their side here. It's late in the year. Give me Boise to cover 24 on this one. Over to the ACC. And in this situation, we have got Virginia going to Pitt. And right now, Virginia is a 7.5-point road dog. And my number on this is Pitt by 17. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, has Pitt by 17.7. And yes, I know that SMU game happened. But man, looking at Virginia's overall record, they're 4-4. They are 5-2 against the spread, so 5-2-1. Pitt is 7-1. They are 6-2 against the spread. And they just got beat by a better football team last week. But if you look at overall talent, special teams efficiency, points per play margin, turnovers, everything, this Pitt team is better than Virginia. I think that they've got the 7.5 out there because people think that Virginia will be able to stay within that number. So it's like they're welcoming in money on Virginia. But if you just look at overall what these teams are, number 22 in PPA margin for Pitt, number 102 for Virginia. Virginia's defense is number 118. I know that this Pitt offense has been terrible as of late, but I mean, nothing else is going to get you as right as a Virginia defense. I'll say that. And as far as the other side of the ball, like Virginia, they do the thing that they do worst the most. Does that make sense? They throw the ball 51.44% of the time, and they are number 91 in PPA per pass, number 96 in passing success rate. They're actually pretty good at running it, but they do that 48% of the time. That's number 81 in the country. And they're number 42 in PPA per rush. The issue for them is this Pitt defense is number 34 in PPA allowed per drive and number 27 in defensive success rate. I think Pitt's defense is going to stifle them. I think Pitt is going to want a bounce back here, especially before they go and play, and they're playing somebody big next week. So they're playing Clemson at home next week. I think this is the kind of spot where, and it's not that they're going to name their number, but I certainly think it's going to be more than 7.5. So give me the Panthers on that. Two more games. Back to the Mountain West we go. And this one, normally we wouldn't discuss a game like this because, surprisingly, Fresno and Air Force has reached sicko game status because neither of these teams is very good. However, I have... the book has got Air Force by, no, Air Force a dog of 10.5. I'm going to get it straight eventually. Air Force is a 10.5-point dog going to Fresno. Fresno's defense, honestly, looks pretty good. Number 11 in PPA allowed per pass, number 45 in PPA per rush. They are number 56 in overall defensive success rate, but they're number 81 in rushing success rate allowed. This Air Force offense has gotten a little bit better. They changed quarterbacks. Now, obviously, these are full season stats. My number on the full season is Fresno by 8, which is still not even close to this 10.5 or 11. Based on the last 4 weeks, I've only got Fresno favored by 4.37. The thing that has changed the most from when Jeff Tedford left, the defense obviously looks okay. The offense is not good. Number 92 in PPA per pass. Number 100 in passing success rate. They're number 114 in PPA per rush. They are number 120 in rushing success rate. This is not ideal. Now, they're probably going to win this game. Because, let's face it, Air Force is terrible. They haven't even been covering numbers. They did finally cover a number last week against Army. But they are looking a little bit better. They're able to put up some points now that they were not able to do before. And I know that this Air Force defense is also pretty terrible, but Fresno is just, there's something amiss with this team. They haven't been very good. And in that line of thinking where we've got a total of 41.5, we've got a double-digit spread here. The best number I can get is Air Force plus 11. That is the side that I'm going to take. I will take the dog with a short total almost every time, especially if there's not a huge discrepancy between them. So give me Air Force plus 11 there. Last game of the day, and Washington State welcomes Utah State to the Palouse. Washington State is a 20.5-point favorite. That is a consensus line across the board. And you start to look at who these teams play next week. Washington State has at New Mexico next week, and Utah State has got, let's see, they've got Hawaii next week at home. So there's no real look-ahead spot here, anything like that. My numbers have Washington State by 23 in this game. Based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Washington State by 17.5. This Utah State team has gotten a little bit better on offense. Now, defensively, not good at all. Number 22 in PPA per rush for Washington State's offense. The defense for Utah State is number 132. John Mateer, the quarterback, is going to have a field day running around on this team. I think he could probably get to 150, maybe 200 yards rushing on this Utah State team. The issue is that I don't know that Washington State is going to be able to stop Utah State either. Utah State, number 38 in PPA per rush, but they only run the ball 42% of the time. They throw it 57% of the time, but I think part of that has to do with the fact that Utah State is almost always behind, right? Looking at the records, Utah State is 2-6, But if you look at them, they're number 127 in first half point margin. So they have to throw the ball to get back in the game. You look at the other side of this. Washington State is number 21 in first half point margin. Washington State starts fast. Utah State does not. What I would recommend here is to take Washington State in the first half and then take Utah State for the full game. However, since we're only doing the full game here on the show, we're going to take Utah State plus the 20.5. I think that they score some points late. I don't think Washington State tries to run this thing up or anything like that. Just have fun and watch John Mateer. I'll say that. But I heavily lean Washington State on the first half on that. Let's see. I think that is going to wrap things up. It certainly is. All right, let's do a recap right quick. Make it easy. Wake Forest plus 7.5. Purdue plus 38. Georgia Tech plus 11.5. Syracuse plus 2.5. South Florida plus 3. And then Liberty minus 10.5. UConn minus 6.5. Clemson minus 6.5. North Texas plus 6. And Jacksonville State minus 9.5. Then we've got Oregon minus 24.5. We've got Mississippi State plus 24. Arizona State minus 2.5. We've got Oklahoma State plus 11.5. Notre Dame minus 25.5. Oklahoma minus 2.5. Boise minus 24. Pitt minus 7.5. Air Force plus 11. And Utah State plus 20.5. You guys are the absolute best. I appreciate you coming here every single week. I enjoy doing this. This is just a lot of fun for me. I mean, like I said, it's a one-man operation. If you want to be part of the membership thing, you can do that, bettingcfb.com. And you can get those spreadsheets, stat sheets, whatever you want to call them. I post them up every week. I like doing numbers. I'll say that. All right, don't forget about the BetUS show. Don't forget about Ticket Smarter. Don't forget about Go Sleeves. Don't forget about Three Dog Thursday. I think that's all we got. All right. You guys take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football, and hopefully, all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and follow me on Twitter, @GaryWCE. If you want to toss in a question, you can email me, Gary@WinningCuresEverything.com. Make sure and hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.